Is this Mr. Tommy Chung?
Who's calling?
This is Spud Goodman. You remember me?
Who?
Spud Goodman. Who? I kind of have a radio show.
Spud's not here. Sorry.
This is Spud Goodman.
Who's calling?
Spud Goodman.
Who? Spud Goodman.
It's Spud, S-P-U-D.
Spud's not here.
You're listening to Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show.
Let's get ready, Trumbo! And here he is, the head cheese meister. It's Spud Goodman.
Greetings and a very warm hola to our listeners in Mexico. My name is Spud Goodman.
The Spud Man. I'm laughing all the way to the bank.
Truth be told, I think we've had more listeners for our old radio show and now podcast, you know, there in Mexico than we have here in the U.S. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do this show from time to time in Spanish, but I'm not fluent and would just butcher the language, and that is not cool. I'm not going to do a horrible Spanglish version either, because I don't want to be just another ugly American who can only toss out a C and where's the baños? You know. With that being said, I will do my best on this podcast going with sort of basic English, because that is in my skill set. Okay then, let me give you the scoop on what's on this autopsy of The Walking Dead episode, which aired 2/16/2017. It featured some people who were, I guess all of them were involved with the long-running AMC hit The Walking Dead. Yeah, I guess that makes sense, huh? Because we titled it that. We started off with Talking Dead host Chris Hardwick. You know, since then, he's done a bunch of huge TV game shows, made millions, I'm sure, but none of them had any walkers on them, so I haven't seen them. We also had on actor Josh McDermott, who played Eugene on the show, you know, the dude with the really bad mullet. He lasted from the fourth season through season 11, the final one that aired in 2022. Yeah, and also on this one from The Walking Dead was actor David Morrissey, who played the character The Governor, a really creepy dude. I mean, not David, he was really cool, but that Governor character he did was especially strange, you know. And on the music side, we had on the band Lust Punch. Even if you aren't a Walking Dead fan, this one was pretty good, so hang around and check it out. I now need to introduce, though, our show's designated laugher, my Aunt Dorothy. Give us a rousing belly laugh, if you would. Okay, I'm going to take off my headphones for a second.
Oh, sorry about that.
Dang, okay, that's plenty of volume. All right. That's what I'm talking about.
You said rousing, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. And thank you. Also with us is temporary permanent co-host Gerald Holcomb. I think, you know, just saying your name should be enough, don't you think? I mean, there's no need to go into some small talk between us.
Oh, I think there's a need for us to engage in both small and large talk. That's what people tune in for, our banter together.
Dumbest, most offensive, and most insane things.
Banter? What are you saying?
Yeah. Banter. You know, a conversation between the two of us.
We don't have time for a conversation right now.
Well,
as I need to move this thing along. You know, maybe later, okay? You know, also, you know, in the interim, feel free to use the baños, you know, for as long as you want, okay? What do you think? Just give it some thought. Chance, regular listeners know who you are. I guess I have to bring on our show's intern now, Chance. And, dude, I've been told that some of them really, really like you, okay? Okay, I mean, like a lot, so I'm now going to pander to those listeners and I'm going to let you say a few things. So Chance, you're on.
I know I'm on. I heard you as I have ears. Okay.
All right, fine.
I'll try to give the people what they want and say some stuff they'll find interesting. Right now, though, I'm good. You can continue to babble on if you want. I'll let you know when I'm ready to jump in.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
All right. Good to know, Chance. Okay. Well, I guess we'll begin with our in-studio conversation about the Walking Dead episode back then and our feelings about the show. So, Dave, run that first segment.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Well, let's talk about tonight's show. Okay. This one is going to please just about everyone as we're doing a Walking Dead theme show.
Pissing our pants yet?
Now, that's a pretty freaking popular show. Just about everyone still living, you know, watches it every week, except maybe for those who think they're too cool or something because it's so popular. But anyway.
Well, I sure watch it.
Yeah. Well, good.
Well, between you and I, my wife Rachel is at my youngest Cub Scout pack meeting tonight, and so she's not listening. So, yeah, I can tell you, I've seen many episodes of The Walking Dead myself.
Well, big deal. Just like I said, everyone almost on Earth watches this show.
Yeah, but I have to sometimes go to extraordinary measures to catch it. You know, we have this little 6-inch black and white portable TV we take along with us when we go camping.
Okay.
So I go up into the attic and I watch the show when I can.
Tonight, a Kelly File exclusive.
I spliced the cable line and I ran it up there. Sure, it would be more fun to see it in color, but it is what it is.
Hey, you finally used that cliche.
Yeah.
That's going to cost you $2 in the cliche jar, but I'm proud of you. You know, it's about time you used a few phrases from this century.
All that for jiggle jaggle is not beautimous.
Okay, well, I'll drop the $2 in the jar when we're done here.
All right,
but
good.
I'm
Make
definitely
sure
a fan of The Walking Dead. Now, are you going to be interviewing any of the people that play the zombies? Because they're just actors, right?
It's not a documentary, dude. No, I will be doing something better than just talking to extras. Oh. We have a few people involved with the show on, and, you know, it's got to help us with the ratings. I mean, that's my hope, at least.
Well, from what I read, I don't think they need much help with the ratings.
No, our ratings, man. Jeez.
Oh.
Hold it, because I'll get the tee off of you.
Well, Jesus. You got it? Do you understand me?
I think
you know,
so.
I've had more than a few nightmares after watching this show. I always wake up just before I get totally eaten alive. But the first bite or two always feels so real. I usually wake up and I won't lie, you know, I have wet myself a couple times. It's kind of embarrassing, but, you know, since I'm mostly sleep alone, the only real drag is having to change the sheets in the middle of the night.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, if I'm ever lucky enough to have a girlfriend, you know, staying over for the night on Sundays, you know, I just never watch the show. I just don't.
Good call, yo.
You know, Spud, our oldest, Gerald Jr., was an enuretic in his early teen years.
Okay.
It was just a phase, but it did seem like we were always doing laundry.
He had the same thing happen to him after watching The Walking Dead, really?
Yeah, oh, no. We are not allowed to watch that show in our house. That's why I have to go up to the attic to see it. My wife feels it has satanic overtones, and it's not appropriate
Look,
for everyone.
Look, maybe not appropriate for little kids, but not a grown-ass man. I mean, grow a freaking pair.
Well.
Anyway, hey, let me introduce our musical.
Let me say for the record that you never did grow a pair since this aired in 2017. I mean, your wife still picks your clothes out to wear each morning, right? Am I right? And she still won't let you use a real pair of scissors around the house, too. Am I right, Gerald? Come on. I mean, she makes you use one of those little kid scissors, you know, that have a blunt end.
That's pretty sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, both of you. Haven't you ever heard of that old wise tale? Never run with scissors. I mean, a person could poke someone's eye out or even their own, and no. Spud, she doesn't pick my clothes out for me each day. On the weekends, she lets me choose whatever pants I want to wear. So, you know, I have a degree of freedom with my wardrobe.
That is messed up, yo.
Well, I must say, I felt sorry for you when you shared with us that you had to watch The Walking Dead on a little black and white portable TV in your attic. It must have been lonely for you, Gerald.
Well, at times it was lonely, but I kept the light on up there, so I felt comfortable.
When I finally do get married to Dorothy, I know she'd never tell me what TV shows I could watch in our house. That is so wrong.
Well, of course not, honey. You can watch whatever you want, when you want, and I'll be there with you. Well, except for when you want to watch some of those softcore porn movies on Showtime. Then, as you know, I'll give you your privacy and just leave the room.
I really appreciate that you respect my privacy, Dorothy. My mom never does. She comes into my bedroom without even knocking at their house, just whenever she wants. sometimes at very embarrassing moments.
The Masturbation Network, keeping America baiting for 300 years.
Yeah, that was a little too much information for me, so why don't we move on to my interview with the Talking Dead host, Chris Hardwick. Dave, hit it.
Please give a hearty welcome to comedian, actor, producer, and host Chris Hardwick. Thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent, yeah. Well, now you've hosted many shows yourself, but your face has become as recognizable as the Google logo when you started doing, you know, The Talking Dead. So why do you think this show has captured the attention of so many humans still surviving on Earth?
Well, because I think it just, you know, when people watch a show, like when I would watch shows that were really intricate with character drama and, you know, like you didn't know what was going to happen, you would call your friends afterwards, you'd talk to people at work, you'd go on to forums online and talk about it because you need to process it. And what we sort of accidentally found out was, you know, it kind of creates a hub for the community to come together, and even if they're not participating in the conversation, they're involved emotionally because it allows them to kind of get back into their lives, you know? Because if you watch a show that you're really super into and a lot of stuff happens and then you can't talk to anyone about it and you go to bed, you can't fall asleep, your brain is spinning in circles. So right. it just kind of allows people to sort of unwind and glide back into reality.
Yeah, super. Well, you know, on our show, we're trying to figure out the coolest way to kill a zombie. What would be your choice?
Oh, man, there's so many good ways. I feel like, you know, maybe in like a Rube Goldberg mousetrap machine.
Ooh, mousetrap, yeah?
Yeah, so, you know, just a whole series of dominoes that set off a bunch of things that,
oh, yeah,
you know, kill a bunch of zombies along the way. Just fun creative ways. Those are the kind of things I would do in the apocalypse.
Yeah, all right. I've made my decision. I would be going with a stapler, but that's just me, but anyway.
But how do you get that through the... I mean,
it would be a long staple
on the forehead, and then you jam. You mean really industrial staples?
Correct. And I thought about that. Yeah, I obviously have to stock up at Home Depot, but you know, it's just a thought. I mean, that's kind of the way
gun.
I would go.
Nail gun. That's what you need. A nail gun.
Maybe a nail. Yeah. Okay. I just wrote that down. Super.
Good.
All right. Well, you are the CEO of Nerdist Industries. How cool is being a CEO? I would not mind myself being a CEO, but you can't call in sick much, right? Can you? That would be the downside.
Well, you can't. Well, you don't necessarily call in sick. You're always sort of on call, but then you kind of set your own hours at the same time.
Oh,
so
I like that.
It has its ups and its downs. I mean, you're ultimately the downside is you're responsible. The upside and downside is that you're responsible for everything.
Well, that's not. Yeah, I would not like responsibility. So that's on the negative. Yeah, I'll have to think about this further.
Don't do it.
All right.
Or you could just do it. Just say you're the CEO of something, and maybe people will just start giving you things.
Hmm. Okay, I'm going to go with that. Think about that. All right. Well, Chris, you have legit nerd street cred. You were a chess champion in junior high. You know, you would have been the kid who scared the crap out of me at that age because you could take tests with your eyes closed. Were you so smart kids thought you had superpowers in school?
I don't know. It was not a cool thing when I was growing up, so I don't think they thought I had superpowers. If they did, they sure hit it well. Back in those days, before social media, before the internet, where you could connect with other people anywhere in the world.
Wow,
there were
three or four
of us in school that were, we just tried to avoid all the other kids because there was a lot of harassment.
But you were a champion, correct? I want to get this out for the record.
Nope, that's true. That's
all right,
true.
There we have it. All right, we got that down.
Excuse me, Spud. But I can't help but feel somewhat slighted here.
Chris, I'll be right back.
Oh, no worries.
Really? I thought I was going to get through this thing without you butting in and offering your 2 cents. I think he likes me, kind of, sort of.
Well, the rule now is I'm allowed to speak up, just not directly with the guest. But hopefully that will change, too. But what I'm saying here is I have told you on more than one occasion I won a yo-yo contest in the 7th grade at my
school.
Well, it was a pretty big deal. I also gained a lot of street cred when I won. People were really impressed, even the teachers.
You can't compare winning a chess championship, which takes brains, to, you know, being halfway decent with a yo-yo.
Well,
that's apples and oranges. Or is it oranges and apples? Well, the bottom line is, they're not comparable. For all we know, everyone else in the yo-yo contest was terrible.
Oh, no. There were some tough competitors, and I had to nail my ultimate sleeper move to come out from behind and win the championship. I just find it interesting that you have never once asked me to discuss this on the air. Yo-yos are still a big deal to some people.
Yeah, in like 1978, maybe.
No.
I gotta return to Chris. He's probably late for one of his many jobs. Hey, I'm back. My apologies. All right, well, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to ask you what your most memorable moment was in playing Jerry Goldsmith in Rob Zombie's House of 1,000 Corpses. Anything come to mind?
I mean, the Dr. Satan moment, screaming Dr. Satan,
yes.
Which people still ask me to do from time to time.
Yes.
But I think it was really being pinned to the operating table and having being dissected by Dr. Satan. That was probably Jerry Goldsmith's defining moment.
Huh. All right. There we have it. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. So thanks a bunch for coming on our show, man.
Thanks for having me.
That's right. There you have it, Mr. Chris Hardwick.
Spud, can I ask you something, and you would have to be honest?
Well, it would depend on what you're asking.
Okay. Chris has kind of cornered the market on hosting really popular shows. Like, deep down, you have to feel a great deal of jealousy towards his career. Everything he touches is gold, and everything you've touched is not gold. I mean,
yeah.
I could use a variety of other items to represent the failure of your lengthy career, like yard waste or, say, dog poop or maybe even expired yogurt.
Oh, that's kind of mean, Gerald.
Yeah, that's kind of a low blow, man.
Well, I don't mean it that way.
But you know, hey, it's okay. It's not like I can argue, you know, that I've been super successful or anything. I mean, I get it. But at least, you know, I've never, ever sold out. I may have tried to sell out, you know, just a little bit, but it never worked. So yeah, I may be a failure, but I'm a semi-respectful failure, okay? So let's just move on to our conversation that we had in the studio on the Walking Dead episode. Dave, run it.
You know, Spud, have you ever given much thought to what it would be like to actually be with Rick and Daryl and Eugene and the rest? They have to live such a hard life, you know?
Any. Meany. Miney. Mo.
Yeah, I told you, I dream about this show all the time, and it always ends bad.
Mm.
But their life isn't totally horrible, as they always seem to eat pretty well, you know, with some tasty canned foods. And except for, you know, Daryl, they have clean clothes, mostly, and a roof over their heads.
Yeah.
If all the sick and evil guys would just leave them alone, they would be fine. The problem is, there's always some scary dude, like now Negan and his posse bothering them. You see, that's the downside of still being alive after a zombie apocalypse. The rule of law is not always recognized by everyone, you know, that survived.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Well, I know I would sure carry a big gun around myself.
Really? I thought you were a pacifist who didn't believe in shooting, you know, anyone.
No, Spud, how many times do I have to tell you, being a Mormon is not the same thing as being a Quaker or a member of the Amish community.
I get them.
We're separate groups. Making. There's nothing in common at all. Mormons have no issues with firearms,
okay,
I assure you.
So you're the ones without the sort of beards, right?
Well,
but you guys did eat each other on that wagon train trip a long time ago.
That's so hot.
I know that for a fact.
We don't talk about it, yeah.
Do you have guns at home? I don't think I've ever asked you that before.
I would prefer not to discuss that on the air. Let's just say I'm more than prepared should a real zombie outbreak ever occur.
They are not our friend.
Well, look at you. Talking dirty-esque, you know.
Hey, yeah.
Hairy smack to the zombies. Very badass, man.
Thank you. Well, you know, my wife is the real marksman in our family. She's been an NRA member since her teen years. I won't reveal how many firearms she has and is proficient with, but let's just say she is more than ready.
How does that resonate for you in the bedroom?
Yeah, you know, if I was a zombie, I sure wouldn't, like, mess with your wife. I'm telling you that for a fact. I mean, no way I would mess with her.
You know, she is a very strong woman. I know if something like this ever did happen, Rachel would be the first to jump in, just like Rick did in the first season.
Let them know we're on our trail, doing everything we can, but most of all, keep everybody calm.
You know, people gravitate to her when times are difficult. She's a natural leader, just like he is.
Yeah, I think that show has proven women can be as tough or probably more so than guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Carol is a killing machine. She should have her own show and just knock off zombies for an hour.
You know, she reminds me of my wife a lot.
Really?
Sure. Well, it's a different hair color and a slightly different build. And, well, maybe Rachel's a little bit taller.
Oh, yeah.
And she seems to have
I get it. Your wife and Carol can kick butt.
Yeah.
Though they're not totally identical in all physical characteristics. Okay.
Well, as a mother, I would think that you would not want to be drunk at the putt-putt.
Yeah, yes. That is what I'm saying, Spud.
Okay, all right. Let's move on. And
Gerald, I think in my junior year in high school history class, we covered that Donner Party. A bunch of people in a wagon train going over some mountain and bad stuff happened. It was kind of cool discussing cannibals in the classroom.
Oh, my Chance is so well read. He knows so much about so many things.
Well, as I said during that episode, that, by the way, Chance, you were not part of, I would rather not discuss the Donner Party. It was an unfortunate event that happened to Mormon settlers heading west in the winter of 1846.
Back in those days, there weren't snack packs or trail mix to take with you on trips. They must have been really hungry to have to eat each other.
Dinner is served.
Yeah, but I don't think you can compare those unlucky settlers they got stuck on that mountain pass, you know, to the walkers who randomly ate people on The Walking Dead. I mean, the people in that wagon train had really good reasons, you know, for doing what they did. And they didn't just eat brains or anything. I mean, as a sort of vegan myself, being in that Donner Party would have posed a very difficult choice. You know, I probably would have just, you know, gotten by with eating a shoe or something, you know. And I know the leather, and for sure eating, you know, I mean, eating leather would, yeah, I mean, it would be an eating code violation. I get that. But I don't think they had pleather back then, as far as I know, you know, that fake leather material, just old school shoes. So I would have, you know, I would have still been morally compromised, but in times like that, you just got to do what you got to do.
I'm so hungry.
Can we just change the subject, please?
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, now we're going to play my interview with actor Josh McDermott. This guy is a real man. I mean, totally fearless, as he told me in our conversation, that he stuck with that mullet haircut that his character, Eugene, had throughout the whole time he was on the show, over those years and many years. Like, he went out to it with, you know, when he went to, like, the doctor's office, the mall, to Taco Bell. I mean, like, everywhere. He had to have taken a lot of crap from people, especially women, as I assume he lives in a really nice neighborhood in the L.A. area, maybe
you know,
Beverly Hills.
Hey, Spud, there's nothing wrong with a mullet haircut. I had one in my college years. Yeah, laugh if you want. My wife did make me get rid of it after we got married. I thought it looked quite dashing, though.
I said, your hair looks stupid.
She made the right call, Gerald.
Yeah, you look weird enough without some goofy haircut. I mean, who wears a suit these days?
Only successful people who have more important things to do than play video games all day. I wanted to say that I found myself identifying with Josh's character, Eugene. He was brilliant, but disrespected by his peers.
Listen, don't go comparing yourself to Eugene, dude. I mean, that is not okay. You're going to wreck it for me when I watch, you know, all the reruns over again. Anyway, Dave, run my interview with Josh, please.
Please say hey to actor and comedian Josh McDermott. Hey, we appreciate you coming on our show.
Hey.
Yeah, all right. So The Walking Dead is reappearing again after a brief hiatus, as always, airing on AMC on Sunday nights at 9, 8 Central.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this second half of Season 7. Like, the first half that aired in the fall was so dark, and, you know, tonally we're seeing a shift. here coming up in these next 8 episodes, you know.
Super.
This is Rick and his group trying to rise from the ashes, I guess, like the Phoenix. Like, it's exciting to see them. You know, this is a group that is used to winning, and all of a sudden they meet this guy Negan, and they start losing. And so it's nice to see them kind of, you know, hunker down and formulate a plan and kind of try and move forward.
All right. Well, the first thing I should say is congratulations for Eugene still being alive and on the show. Were there any close calls at table reads where you thought you just maybe might be the next one to get snacked on by a mob of zombies?
Thanks, yeah. Basically, every time I read a script, man, whether I have an inkling of Eugene and his survival or not, like I just feel like they're going to accidentally not tell me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think... I honestly, you know, because they tell you, obviously, and then they tell others afterwards, but I don't even think they told me about, and this is a spoiler, but Glenn and Abraham. And so, because I think they just got busy and they forgot, so I'm like waiting for the day that they forget to tell me that I'm dying, and then it'll just be like, oh, I guess that was kind of par for the course.
Well, first of all, that spoiler will be off the record. It will go no further. But yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know, I kicked around with Chris Hardwick earlier what his favorite way to kill a zombie would be. I have my own ideas, you know, but it seems Eugene is a conscientious objector, a pacifist, but he's evolved a bit, right? And I just spoke in the third person for you, so, you know, it's acting talk, so you won't get dinged for that.
Thank you. I wouldn't call him a conscientious objector as much as I think he wants to contribute. He just doesn't think that he can. He's scared. You know, where I think a true pacifist probably just, you know, doesn't believe in the violence and that sort of thing. Where Eugene is very, very aware that, you know, killing is kind of the new norm. He just doesn't think that he's going to do a good job at it. And if he were to step up and try to do that, he would probably be the one getting killed. And I think that's kind of where he sits. But yeah, his confidence has grown over the last couple of seasons, which is exciting. We get to see that. You know, we'll see more of that. I think it's going to be put to the test now that he's been kidnapped by Negan.
Right.
And we'll definitely see that. And I mean, I'll just say this: it's not good.
Oh. Well, that's
a good situation that he's in.
That gets our minds rolling. Well, let's get down to the question most everyone wants to hear about, the hair, the mullet of Dr. Eugene. Was that something you personally created, or did it originate after months of focus group discussions conducted by AMC Suits? It's a state-of-the-art mullet.
It's a state-of-the-art. It's real, man, and it's spectacular. Eugene is based, you know, this show is based on a comic book created by Robert Kirkman,
mm-hmm.
and Eugene is one of the characters in the comics, and he has a mullet there, and I think when I auditioned for the role, they, you know, because they try and throw people off so that nobody really knows what's going on, I think initially they said he was going to have a mohawk, and I got a little scared about that, because I don't look good with a shaved head at all, so I was like, oh man, I don't want to have a mohawk. And thankfully, and this is so weird to say it, thankfully it was only a mullet.
So you suffer for your art? You carry that mullet with you everywhere you go? It's real?
I wear it proud, man. At first I was a little, like, hesitant, like, oh, a mullet? This is not going to look good on me. And then I've embraced it, man. It's one of those things that I feel like it's becoming a cultural icon.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely. How's it working
with... It's like Fonzie's leather jacket.
Yeah. Well, how's it working on the social life? I'm just curious.
It's getting better, man. It's getting better. I have a lot of hats that I just put on, and then that's fine. Then it just looks like I have long hair.
Yeah, okay.
When I take that hat off, man, people are like, what is going on with that hair?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a wonder, really. But, all right, well, you shoot in the South, somewhere in Georgia, correct? So do the extras playing the zombies complain much with the heat and humidity and all the makeup? It sort of constitutes cruel and unusual work conditions for them.
A little bit. Don't tell SAG and AFTRA.
Okay, I won't. I'll be off the record.
We don't need the union coming after us.
Right.
Labor laws.
If I could, Spud.
Hey, just a moment, Josh. I'll return in a sec.
Well, the topic of working conditions. conditions is something I've been waiting to bring up with you since you just mentioned it with Josh here.
What?
Maybe it would be a good time to discuss what I and your Aunt Dorothy feel are often unfair labor practices here on the show.
Perfect.
Oh, now you think you're Norma Ray? Just no. Because I don't cater to your every whim on this show? Listen, Mr. Snowflake, you need to toughen up a bit. Accept the fact that this is not your show. It's the Spud Goodman show. Be happy you have a tiny, tiny little role on it.
Well, I don't think it would look good on, say, Facebook if there was a story circulated about you being mean to your coworkers. You know, being a bully is no longer acceptable behavior in our country, Spud.
Really? But you voted for the bully in chief. It's a good thing his wife is working on eradicating that kind of behavior, at least on social media.
Well, yes, our First Lady's efforts are greatly appreciated, as so many are beyond rude in cyberspace. But what I'm saying is, you may soon be hearing from the National Labor Relations Board if things don't change. Just a heads up, as you like to say.
Ooh, I'm so scared. And don't try to drag my aunt into this, okay? Let me get back to Josh. All right, I have returned, and now getting back to those extras complaining like little babies?
No, they, honestly, I don't know if they're complaining because they have a lot of makeup covering their mouth and I just can't hear them.
Oh, all right.
It's funny. People say, you know, there's like rumors out there that the zombies are instructed not to talk to us and like this, there's this separation thing. But honestly, they don't want them talking to us because it messes up the makeup. And, you know, next thing you know, you got some guy's jaw falling off because he wanted to say hello, good morning, how are you? That's really what it comes down to. And so... It is a bit of a cruel and unusual punishment, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But you know, we're going through the same thing. I mean, we're out there in the heat as well, and
wow,
it's a little gross, but it's, you know, the alternative is not being on The Walking Dead, I guess.
Right. Well, you know, I think Christian Bale would like working with those extras. But anyway, well, let me ask you this: you're one of the actors in the cast who is not from the UK. We'll be speaking with David Morrissey a little later, who was on previous seasons, and there are others. I hope those guys don't fly home during filming, because who knows if they can get back here in this country now, you know. But when the cameras are off, does say Andrew Lincoln or Lauren Cohen revert to their accent, or do they stay in character?
It depends. Like, Andrew Lincoln just stays in his Rick dialect all the time, because, I mean, he says that if he goes back and forth, he just wouldn't be able to, like, you'd hear it, you know? And sometimes you can hear that with a British actor. You can hear the British come out.
Right.
And so he never wants that to happen. Lauren, she grew up in New Jersey for part of her childhood and then moved to the UK. I don't know at what age, but lived in the UK for a large portion of her life. And she's kind of able to go back and forth between both accents because she grew up doing that, you know?
Huh.
And so she'll do that. I think Tom Payne, who plays Jesus, he's British too. He goes back and forth between accents. It's just, you know, it's a preferential thing. But, you know, the thing that the rest of us do, the Americans, is, you know, we try and do a British accent when we're not filming as well, just to make them feel welcome.
That's very special. I like that. All right, well, let me close with this. Josh McDermott, what has been your most memorable moment on The Walking Dead?
Most memorable moment, probably, well, one of two things. One, my favorite scene to shoot was when Michael Cudlitz died.
That was sad.
Because that guy had to go. But my second favorite scene was probably the, and this is a major spoiler from season 5. If you're not caught up by now, I'm sorry. But when Eugene, we found out that he didn't have the cure. Because I knew that from the moment I took the job. But not everybody knew that on the show. And that was such a fun scene to shoot. And it just kind of rocked the boat a little bit. Because I think people were thinking, at least within the show, that it was headed in a different direction. And so it kind of jarred everyone for a second. And that was really cool to be a part of that.
All
but,
right.
Definitely favorite scene, Michael Cudlitz's death, because, man, again, that guy had to go.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. Well, I really appreciate you sharing all this inside information. It's very cool. We want to thank you so much for spending some quality time with us.
Thanks for having me, Spud.
All right, Mr. Josh McDermott.
I think the producers of The Walking Dead were really smart to slap on a ton of makeup on those walkers so they couldn't talk on the set and bother cast members. It's something that I
should have given some thought to when you, Gerald, came on the radio show as co-host. You know, I know it would have, you know, been expensive, and our producer, Lori, would have fought me like hell on the, you know, on how it would have affected the budget. But I think, you know, just give it some serious thought here now. Be honest. Think how much more effective the old radio show would have been, and even this new podcast right now, how much it could benefit if you had some kind of like heavy prosthetic device over your head and couldn't talk. I know an hour. No, I'm not. There's nothing to laugh at. I'm being serious. I know an hour with that on would you know, be really hot and unpleasant, but still. It would really have helped out the show and could help out this podcast right now.
Okay. Why, Spud, why would I ever wear something that would not allow me to talk or respond during the show? That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Well, with our studio being air conditioned, I don't think you would have suffered like the actors playing the walkers did in the show. Can you imagine how hot and humid it was in Georgia during their shoots?
I like hot weather, but not if I would have a lot of makeup on.
Yeah, rest assured, Spud, if you ever forced me to wear any device that would not allow me to speak, I would, like I mentioned on that episode, I would file an unfair labor practice complaint with the government.
I'd be willing to take my chances at some hearing, but... anyway, let's move on to my interview and the live performance with our musical guest on that episode, Lust Punch. Dave, roll it.
Okay, it's musical guest interview time. Say hello to our musical guest, Lust Punch. All right, guys, please out yourselves and the instrument you will be playing so people know who the heck they're listening to.
Hi, my name is Nick Knight, and I play the guitar and I sing lead vocals.
All right, Nick.
My name is Michael Bell. I play bass guitar, and I do backing vocals.
All right, Michael.
What's up, guys? My name's Taylor Lutzenheiser, and I'm over here on the drum kit.
Okay, Taylor. All right, so what is the Lust Punch mission statement?
Rock hard.
That is for the record.
All right. Short and sweet. I like it.
Okay. Woo! So we are discussing the TV show The Walking Dead. So may I ask you guys, what is more frightening to you, zombies or Vladimir Putin as our commander-in-chief?
Oh man, that's a hard one. Gotta be Putin.
You got time. Think about it.
I'm going to go with the zombies.
Yeah.
I've seen that show.
I'm with you on that one, man. That stuff sucks.
It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Putin's one man. I think we'd take him.
Okay. So what's the band's favorite condiment?
Mustard all day.
I was just gonna say mustard, dude.
I'm different, man. I'm. I mean, is ranch a condiment? Like,
all right. So Taylor's out of the band, and we need another drummer.
I think it's ranch more, on everything. Yes,
more,
it is.
That's more a dressing. All right, man. All right. Thousand Island? No.
Is that the pink stuff?
You're kind of stuck on the dressing.
Yeah. That's the pink stuff.
That's the Big Mac sauce, special sauce.
Fine, Dijon mustard.
Okay,
all right, there it is. Buckled.
We'll wrestle. All right. Yeah.
I myself am partial to NyQuil. Just on certain foods, of course, and it gives a medicinal quality. I mean, very timely in the winter months. You don't want to think about it. But all right, let's do it. Here is Lust Punch.
Yeah.
can blow. But now she's buried under my highway mountain, reaching to the sky now. Yeah, young star, young star, young star, young star, yeah, yeah. On her way.
This is the Spud Goodman Show.
They were a really loud band. I remember putting in my earplugs, so I didn't really get a chance to hear them until now.
What a wuss. Okay, well, let's now go to my interview with actor David Morrissey. I think he called in from somewhere in the UK. I don't know the exact city. I mean, this guy has won a buttload of awards from his work on stage, on TV, and in the movies. He has real acting chops for sure. The character he played on The Walking Dead, like I said earlier, was the governor. You know, he was pre-Negan as far as the bad guys on the show. Maybe not as evil as him, but still very, very scary.
You know, you would think with the name The Governor, his character would have been nicer. Politicians need to have great communication skills as they have to connect emotionally with people.
Americans love a winner.
I don't think he was a real governor, dude. I mean, he just bossed around those who, you know, who were his followers in his group. You know, like he was running a state or something. There, you know, you think about it, there were a lot of rogue groups of people on that show. Yeah, so anyway, Dave, run the segment.
Please give a warm welcome to actor, director, and screenwriter David Morrissey. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Spud?
Excellent, excellent. Well, let me say this. I know you are modest, so I will say you have won a bunch of acting awards over the years. I mean, you hail from Britain where bragging is not considered cool, so I'm going to have to do it for you. So you...
Thank you. I guess so. I mean, the thing for me, I don't know whether it's a British thing, but it's just I really love the work I do, and I'm not really great outside of the work. I even find this type of things, but the sort of promotional side, quite difficult. I find it really, it's a very different thing talking about oneself without being in character. So you're right, it's not my favorite thing to talk about anything outside of the show. I'm really very... much happier with my costume on.
Right. Well, you know, I should also say this. On the topic of bragging, I guess I should extend my apologies about our current president. We are very sorry. All right, moving on.
Move on.
Yes.
Spud, must you continually take shots at our current commander-in-chief? He is, hashtag, still our president. Show some respect for the man.
Hey, David, just a moment. Well, I do respect the office, but I show as much respect for him as he does for those who do not worship his royal Trumpness. He'd make a much better king, like from some third world country, because you know real soon his people are going to be slapping huge posters of his face on every street corner. Mark my words. Hashtag not my president.
Yeah, well, someday soon, you're going to look back on your rash judgment of this great man, hashtag making America great again, and will have to make a public apology to your listeners, and it will be a very painful experience for you, as we all know how you have such difficulty apologizing for your missteps.
Well, hashtag Mother Russia, when he apologizes for running for president, I will make a full on-air apology. That's fair. Now let me finish this interview with David. Okay, I had a brief distraction, David, but I'm back.
You're known to be a very intense and well-prepared actor when you take on a role, something we were just, you know, touching on. During a shoot, do you take him, the character, home with you, or do you leave him at work when you're done for the day?
It depends. On this, I did, yeah. On the missing, I did. I'm a father myself, so it threw up a lot of things for me, just emotionally, and... Yes, I did carry it with me. It was not an easy time for my loved ones either, just because of the fact that you are in such a miserable place sometimes. You know, you do, and it's not just that. It's sort of, you know, you work long hours and you've been through a lot of emotion. In this, again, there's two story time frames, one in 2014 and one in present day.
Right.
And in the present day, my character is terribly scarred. He is, he has a burn right across his back and across his face.
Yeah, I noticed
that. We don't know how that's happened. So just that's quite an exhausting process to go through as well. So, yes, I did take it home with me. I did take it, it was no holiday.
All right. All right. Well, let's step into the Wayback Machine for a sec. In 2012, I have to ask this, you became a cast member of The Walking Dead, something we on this show all are really into. Were you prepared for the instant recognition on the streets of America after the first couple episodes there? I mean, even without the eye patch, going to the grocery store must have been a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for it at all, no. I mean, I think the show is a phenomenon. It's not just in the U.S., I mean, around the world. I mean, I was recently filming in the Czech Republic in Prague, and, you know, again, just walking around the streets there, the excitement of people seeing the governor was amazing. So, you know, it is a world phenomenon, and I don't think I was prepared for that. I'd done Doctor Who beforehand, and that
right.
is a very similar, like, fan base. You know, there's a real passionate fan base for that.
Almost a religion.
Different. Governor's very playing someone who's that evil also has an aspect to it when you're walking down the street.
Yeah.
When I also happen to be the person who killed quite a lot of the favorite characters of the show, so
you did.
That has a frisson whenever I go out, you know.
Well, I can just say fans take it very seriously, as you are well aware of, obviously. So let me ask you this. Be honest. Do you ever now have nightmares where zombies are pecking at you? Because I've had quite a few with you actually starring in them.
Really? Yeah. I did when I was doing the show. During the show, you know, I would go home and definitely have nightmares of being pursued and slightly sort of gruesome nightmares. But less so now, the more distance between me and the show, the less those things occur. But yeah, you do. I mean, you do when you're spending the day, you know, both with something like The Missing or The Walking Dead, where you're in very intense situations for 16, 17 hours of the day. And it would be strange if you didn't have some sort of residue thing going around in your brain when you're asleep.
Really? That's Thanks a bunch for coming on our show.
Thank you very much. Hope to see you one day. Bye.
Mr. David Morrissey.
Spud, I felt back then, and I still do now, that it was totally inappropriate to make those disparaging remarks to Mr. Morrissey about our former and soon-to-be next president, Donald J. Trump. He deserves your respect, as he has been chosen by God to lead us out of the mess that sleepy Joe Biden has gotten this country into.
These guys, they make millions of dollars. They're smart as hell.
I like to think he is our knight in shining armor coming to save us all. I know. I'm counting the days until he returns to his rightful place in the White House.
I seriously doubt God has chosen, of all people, Trump to lead anyone. That man is a horrible human being.
Why, and that's where you are wrong, Mrs. Jarvis. God has chosen Donald Trump, and God never makes a mistake, ever.
Oh, brother.
I don't think there's any mention in any part of the Bible, for that matter, that an obese orange man will come to save everyone.
No Bible stories for you tonight.
Well, I've found many passages that allude to someone like President Trump coming to our rescue. You just have to read every word in that book. It's there.
I'm no expert on that book, but other than that Antichrist figure that's in there, I don't remember any other reference that could be about him, okay? Anything like him. And I really don't think God likes people who lie every time they open their mouth.
Yes, we're going to have the wall, and yes, Mexico is going to pay for the wall 100%.
As you guys are what I would call non-believers, of course you don't recognize Donald Trump for who he is and the mission that he's been sent to complete.
I kind of believe in God. I just don't believe that he would have anything to do with that guy.
Well, okay, we'll just have to agree to disagree, but I hope you all have your affairs in order when the final days do come, because for those who turn their back on Donald Trump, they will pay a heavy price.
A bigger price than having to listen to that now convicted felon, you know, on the news every night, whining all the time. And by the way, he gives convicted felons a bad name. I bet other convicted felons are pissed, you know, that he's now in their club. And if worshiping him like, I don't know, like you and all his other MAGA members would allow me eternal life, I would rather swallow a quart or two of weed killer and sign up for good. Yeah. So now let's move on to the final segment of the Walking Dead episode, you know, like the discussion we had in the studio. So, Dave, please.
Hey, I don't want to be a narc here, but Gerald, you know, you're not supposed to be using your phone. Are you texting?
Oh, well, you know, my wife just texted me because it turns out she was listening to
the
show.
You're not supposed to have your phone out.
I know I'm not, but she was on the way home from the Cub Scouts meeting. She had her earbuds on, so our youngest couldn't listen. But the exciting thing is she said I could start watching The Walking Dead with her.
Yes!
She especially enjoyed Eugene, or I guess Josh, I guess. But anyway, her friends at church are always talking about the show with her on Mondays, and so I guess she feels maybe we can see it without any demonic or satanic influence.
I don't think zombies are connected to the devil. They're just unlucky people who were in the wrong place at the wrong time and got infected by other zombies.
Yeah, that's what I think too, but Rachel, hi honey, if you're still listening, is rather concerned about the power and reach of the devil. His powers are not to be underestimated, Spud.
Yeah, I've seen The Exorcist a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Truly scary, but that's a different deal. Zombies could not be under the spell of Satan. It would be legally impossible. That would be like double jeopardy.
Hell will freeze over.
But Satan does not follow the rules or respect the practices of a civilized society. He does whatever he pleases. If he wants to have influence over zombies, then he will.
Look, can we keep religion out of this discussion? That's another buzzkill, man.
I agree.
I'm just saying that successfully killing a zombie might be more challenging than you think. I know you mentioned to Chris Hardwick and Josh on the best way to exterminate one, but it might take more than just a stapler, Spud, or a nail gun. You're going to need
thought.
An AK, what, 47 or 57 or 67 or 111? What? Anyway,
just ask your wife.
The one that's possessed by the devil himself.
Well, then are you talking about like a wooden stake or garlic?
No, certainly not. Everyone knows a wooden stake is needed to kill vampires, not zombies. And garlic will maybe keep them away, sort of like bug spray, I guess.
And it only makes common sense.
But, you know, if you really think about it, if you watch a lot of TV and go to the movies a lot like I do,
yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that could possibly get you. I'm starting to think about making a safe room, a safe closet in my apartment.
Oh, we've had one of those for years. I don't think I'm breaching security here, but
I did not know that.
Listen, we have well-rehearsed procedures as a family on how we will deal with such a situation if it arises.
Courtney, Chloe.
Well, that's good to know. We know where I can go if this type of thing ever did break out.
Me too?
Well, sorry, both of you, but that doesn't really fit in with our plan. You see, the first thing one must think of is not exposing your loved ones to outside threats from strangers.
I'm gonna beat the holy hell out of one of you.
Strangers? I'm the freaking host of this show. You work with me.
Well,
are you telling me you would not allow me to stay with you and your family in your safe room if the zombie apocalypse did happen? I've been to dinner at your place
yes.
a few times.
I know, Spud, but Rachel's plan calls for total isolation in the first 72 hours.
I have a very important mission.
After that, I think she might be open to you dropping by if you were able to survive.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Well, I know she's still listening, so maybe she'll have a change of heart after hearing you basically beg her. She has a heart, so I'll speak with her later.
Oh, good. Please do.
Request. Well, God, I guess it takes some disaster like this to know who your friends really are. You know, Rick was a little paranoid at first, too, of others, but he knew there was strength in numbers. How long do you think he and his kid would have lasted if they stayed on their own?
This is Lucille. And she is awesome.
Look, like I said, I'll run it by Rachel later.
Whatever. I need to close this show right now.
I have to say, it's probably a good thing that the original Walking Dead show is now over, except in reruns. You know, for the good of mankind. As I mentioned in the radio show episode, there was a high probability that Satan and other demonic forces were behind those walkers.
Shut up.
And even that very TV program. Think about how popular it was around the world. It had to have influenced so many young people in their view of the future, and for that matter, senior citizens, contemplating what might occur if they continued living as viewers were shown that everyone would be at risk of someday being eaten by walkers or zombies or what have you. Anyway, the work of the devil is far-reaching.
I don't think the Hollywood producers behind The Walking Dead were subordinates of Satan, man. They just wanted to make the show, you know, a show that made, like, buttloads of money. There were no demonic forces involved, you know, except, you know, they wanted to be rich.
Yes, Gerald, you sure seem to work the topic of the devil into so many things in our world.
Yeah, you're like that kid who cried fox.
I think it's wolf, Chance.
Let me Google that.
Yeah, you do that. And I have to say, after hearing again on that episode that you, Gerald, would refuse to let me stay in your safe room, you know, should a zombie apocalypse occur? Well, it was very hurtful, okay? Yeah, to say the least. I realize we're not best friends or anything, but as co-workers, at the minimum, you would think I would get at least serious consideration, you know, for being able to crash with you guys for a while. You know, until the coast was clear.
Absolutely. Gerald, I understand that your safe room might be rather small and cramped, but to deny both of us a refuge from danger, I know I won't forget that.
Mrs. Jarvitz, it wasn't about the size of the safe room. It's not an actual room. I believe it's over 800 square feet. A lot of planning went into its construction. It has three bedrooms, a bath and a half. We even added a hot tub later, but my wife and I planned for the long haul, not just some temporary problems in the world that might come up. And if I can say this, in your case, Mrs. Jarvitz, my wife felt that you were well beyond your childbearing years and would not contribute to repopulating the world after whatever disaster we experienced.
You dick!
Really? Well, your cold-hearted decision back then caused me to contact others in my life, and I found a friend, a widower, whose late husband built a large underground compound. It has every amenity one could ask for, starting with 6 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, a large kitchen, a dining area, a small movie theater, a workout gym, along with a pickleball court, and a 3-lane bowling alley.
Yeah, that lady gave us a tour of the place a few months ago. I can hardly wait for some kind of apocalypse to happen. I love to bowl, even though I'm not sure how to keep score.
Smokey, this is not Nam. This is bowling. There are rules.
I don't know if a pickleball court is really necessary in any safe rooms or underground compounds, for that matter.
I think you're experiencing safe room envy here.
Nonsense. You know, another thing about The Walking Dead that bothered me, and I never expressed it on the radio show episode, was all the walkers seem to be, as the kids these days call it, sexually fluid. I just couldn't tell who were females and who were the males. You know, with the long hair that men wear these days and their unisex clothing, it's tough to know what sex a walker or say a zombie actually is.
Who cares what sex a walker or zombie would identify as? That's their personal business.
You are so right, honey. It's no one's business but their own.
Well, it's pretty hard to get into heaven if God has no clue what sex you are. There has to be a balance between males and females there. No one wants an environment for eternity that is heavily skewed one way or another. It needs to be an even mix for there to be real happiness for everyone.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So if a husband and wife both go to heaven, are you saying that God would want other options for each of them should their marriage go on the rocks up there? You know, if they were looking to start dating someone else after the marriage failed.
What? No. All I'm saying is God needs to know that those he created as males and females stay that way forever and ever so he can maintain order in heaven.
If God is supposed to be all-forgiving, then I'm thinking he's fine with everyone's choices, you know, regarding their own personal lifestyles. And for sure, he would never pick some dumbass wannabe dictator like Trump to represent him.
I'm a very stable genius.
Yeah, let's leave it at that, okay? As I'm, like, really hungry right now and getting a bit cranky. So, I am Spud Goodman. Be all that you can be, and I mean that. God bless and ciao.
Bye-bye.
I am out of here.
I'll be going too. Are you coming, sweetie?
Yeah, I'm right behind you.
Oh, well, Dave, I guess that leaves the two of us. And I'm, you know, I'm a bit hungry also. How would you like to meet me at the Arby's up the street? My treat. I have for a couple of 2-for-1 coupons.
No, thank you. I have some things I need to tend to, so I need to get home. Can you leave the studio as I need to lock up?
Yeah, sure. I'm leaving now if you change your mind. I'll save you a seat at Arby's.
That won't be necessary. Bye.
We'll be right back.
Spud Goodman Show is produced by David Brenneman of Rosedale Audio Productions and recorded at NWCZ Radio. Engineer Mike Renville, executive producer Lori Madsen. Written and directed by Spud Goodman. Production assistants Brian Martin and Trent Botello. Video director T.J. Pike. Original music by Mike Spots and Tom Harmon. On-air talent Rob McGee, David Deere, Derek Schneider, Pam McGee, and Tom Nolan. Copyright 2017 Spud Goodman Productions. David Brenneman speaking. Inside the Spud Goodman Radio Show podcast, copyright 2024, Spud Goodman Productions.